This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The O-Dog is in studio and on the panel tonight. Rocking the mask, walking around there. What's going on over there?
I just came back from the restroom and I had my mask on and I forgot to take it off.
There you go. How about that? A year in and that is just normal occurrences now.
Yeah.
Like
I was looking in the monitor. I'm like, I didn't think anything was wrong. And then I realized, I'm like, your mask is on your face.
I talked to somebody today that said even he believes 2 years from now that he's going to still wear a mask just for his own health. Like,
because of COVID or because
Jamie, are you kidding yourself? You are too. I know I'm not even like germ guy, but when this is over, I'm still going to wear a mask in Walmart. I'm still going to wear a mask in an airport. And I don't know. I'll be mask guy.
That's what he said. Like he goes, yeah, we were talking about it and he goes, I haven't had the flu or anything in a year. Because he goes, I haven't been doing anything. So he goes, it's kind of weird because usually you're out and about and you get the sniffles, you get this and that. He's like, you know, knock on wood for him. But he's like, I haven't been sick in a year. But he goes, what it's done is made me look at, like, when life does get back to normal, he's like, I'll probably still wear a mask. Like, and I thought about it. I was like, I thought we'd just throw the masks away and that's it, you know? Like,
I think in some areas for sure. I think, like, walking through airports. I think if you're not feeling well, you know, I do think the mask would be here to stay for some walks of life and in some certain situations. But I it's too easy to say that right now because this is our life.
Right.
You know, you haven't got anything because you haven't interacted with a human being in a year.
Exactly.
You know, like once you get back into a bar, something's probably going to happen. You go back to a Leaf game, a Blue Jay game, you get into the subway, you start flying again.
That's what I said. Though I said to myself, how many times now I sit and look like you watch a highlight of a sporting event and you got a bunch of sweaty slobs high-fiving each other in the stands.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the transmission of germs going left and right? You know, guys, some guy hacking and coughing on the bus or on the subway.
Everywhere. You know, like we may pay more attention to that for a while. I don't know. Who knows what to predict?
I don't know what the future
a year from
holds.
Now, how could you possibly predict any of this, let alone we'd still be where we are today?
Right.
But I was thinking about it when the Grappler was posting all the videos because today is our fifth anniversary at 4 o'clock. We became Overdrive, and we went on the air at 4 o'clock 5 years ago today. And the Grappler's been posting a bunch of things. And one of the clips, for starters, I have short hair, which I haven't had in a year. Secondly, I'm noticeably sick. Like, I have
a
cold.
Dude, every clip that I saw today, you had this head cold. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
No kidding. What was I doing? Like, what was I up to in a previous life where I was constantly sick?
You know why? You got two kids.
You look like John Candy in Stripes with your buzz cut. It was a weird look.
What a brutal haircut. Like, my wife said that very delicately, which makes me wonder. She'd probably been thinking about it for a while and was waiting to slide this in. She said, one of the great benefits you've had of COVID is you've let your hair grow out. Because it looks way better.
You can't touch the hair. Your hair looks really, like, you have nice hair.
I appreciate that.
And it was awful before.
It was terrible.
I remember I used to look at your hair, obviously sitting beside you for 3 hours every day. I would stare at your hair and I would be like, I know what this guy does.
It's terrible.
No,
hair.
Like there was no gel. There was like, that's shower head. And there was nothing happening after that. You just came to work and like, you're like, that's my hair.
Terrible hair. Terrible.
And I would stare at it and be like, this guy just doesn't care about it. And he just washes it and comes to work.
It's got
to
be, you know how at training camp you get the headshot and then they show, like, for example, the other day, Sidney Crosby from 18 to 34, they show the different headshots every year. We've got to do a headshot of Hayes early on when you were Griff.
Ooh.
And then the hair was a little bit messy, but then, you know, went short. Like, be interesting to see the progression of Brian Hayes in 10 years, right?
Well, years? There has certainly been progression. There was a stock photo used by TSN. I think Steph is responsible for this.
Yeah.
That was always used whenever I get a media pass, because every year I get a media pass for the Leafs, the Raptors, the Jays, the teams will send you the pass. And it was a stock photo, and it was actually thoroughly embarrassing. Like, I'm a sloth in it. I had a hat on that day, so my hair is everywhere, and it's short, it's buzzed. I was Peter Griffin. And I'm telling you, for years, this was my stock photo. So whoever was, like, issuing these with the Leafs, Raptors, and Jays, and occasionally I'd go to, like, you know, if I'm going to an Argo event or TFC or whatever, they'd have it waiting for me. It was always the exact same stock photo, and it was horrendous, like, awful. And it was either they were keeping it in the rotation because they're like, this guy's such an idiot, and look at how goofy this pick is, or Steph was sending it to them year in, year out, saying, use this photo.
Dude, it's wife credit, man. She stood by you. Like, you were a moose, and you weren't good-looking, and you're actually good-looking now. So she stood by you to see the end result.
She saw the potential. Yeah. You know what? She saw the potential in you. She's like a scout.
I'm Bitcoin. She's Craig Bitcoin.
Yeah, she's Craig Button.
Yeah,
she saw you in junior.
Of scouting out. She's like, well, you wait. She goes, this big bastard's going to lose some weight. He's going to grow his hair. And stop wearing those stupid men's golf shirts with no sleeves on them and button-ups. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be dialed in. And look at you now. You're dialed in.
Yep, all grown up. It's paid off for her pretty well. You're right.
I agree.
We should ask her, though. There was probably a few, you know, lean years where I was thinking, should I sign this guy to another deal? Or do I walk away from him?
Noodles. She's told me this story.
Like, dude, she's probably come home and seen you, like, moose territory, eating a wheel on the couch, and just said, I don't know what to do with this guy.
Passed out with the wheel. Wheels falling onto the ground.
Right.
And it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, a pair of cargo shorts, like 42-inch waist cargo, past the kneecap, like just awful shoes, like just top to bottom looking, saying, there's nothing about this guy's scouting report that would indicate it's going to pay off. It was Bitcoin 10 years ago. That's what it was. And I guess I'm Bitcoin now, which means it could go south at any point.
Very volatile.
It's a very volatile purchase, and she's locked in now. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Am I coming here for financial advice today? What's going on?
Well, O was just being very candid and, quite frankly, rude about my own situation and my marital status and how it's
Ray,
a miracle that
him,
it exists.
His wife is, I give her a lot of credit for sticking it out, because he was a tub of garbage 3 years ago, and now he's good looking, and he's got a good job, and he's well known, and he's got it together. And she saw that.
Do you think you and I should be giving out marital advice?
No, if people saw financial statements, they would not want us to be doing that.
I never thought of that. We just called his wife the Craig Button of relationship because she saw potential in Brian Hayes. You know, how long have you been with Aaron? Like 15
we've been together,
years?
13 years now.
So she saw potential years ago,
but
she signed him to a long-term deal and kind of like chipped away. Probably took some heat from the media, took some heat from people saying, hold on a second here, but it's paid off for her. That's where we're going.
That's what's important. It worked out for her very well.
Well, what draft pick, what round do you think you would have been, Hayes?
Oh, back in the day, like when I was at the bottom of the barrel of
PT, a camp invite.
For the East Coast Hockey League. Like, camp invite for a league somewhere in Turkey.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a good position to be in. And I'll admit that.
Well, then what the hell was she thinking then?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just Mr. Personality. That's what every guy uses when somehow they haul in, you know, a woman that they have no right in doing. I got a big personality. Make her laugh.
Great.
She's a nice person. Great in the room.
Great in the room.
Good, you know, good leader. You know, great in the room. Like social convener. Like all of the things. You know what you have, Brian? Intangibles.
There you go.
Nothing that the analytics can touch.
Analytics would hate me.
You've got intangibles. You bring something to the table.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So, I don't know. We'd have to get her on to explain that someday.
Well, I think that's a segment right there. That is a segment right there.
Yes. We'll get my wife on to explain what the hell she was thinking. 10 years ago. Well, anyway, I mean, there's some good things going on in this country or in this city, as I'm sure you're aware of. I mean, Matthews with four more points on Saturday night. And you talked about it last week, he and McDavid. That may have been a coincidence. You know, there's a part of me, the sports fan in me, wants to believe that it wasn't, that Matthews puts up four and McDavid goes, all right, that'll work for me. He had 5 points like 25 minutes into the game on Saturday night. And the two of them, like, it's weird because Marner's been outstanding. Draisaitl's still been great. And I don't think they're even a part of the conversation right now.
They're not. I mean, they are clearly the second guy in both teams. And yet they're both having amazing seasons. Like, so just think, McDavid had no points on Friday. It's a 2-1 win. I think it's the first time in, like, well, I don't even know how long that they won without a point from either Draisaitl or McDavid. And then he just runs roughshod over them in the nightcap. Like, I actually said, like, when Matthews scored the first goal again, I said, like, again? Like, I can't believe it. It's like it's now not, I wonder if he's going to score. It's like, well, of course he's going to score. It's just when. And how many? And I'm just, what these guys are doing is, it's kind of like 1980s stuff, right? Like, they're getting 2 points a game. I'm doing the prep for the game today. The last guy to have a goal a game this late in the year was Stamkos, had 19 and 19, and that was in 2010-11. And the last Leaf was Wendell, right, at 23 and 23, but that was in the 80s when goals were a little easier to come by. But this is amazing what they're doing. Just astounding.
Was that the the year Stamkos got 65? Like, I'm just looking for reference. Like, is that it sounds right?
Yeah. Did he get 65?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh.
I had an argument on TH2N with the host because I said the minute that Marty St. Louis got traded, Stamkos will never get 65 again. And he wanted to fist fight.
What did he say? What was
his response? A Stamkos guy, which is true, but Marty St. Louis was an elite passer. Elite. Like Nick Backstrom to Ovi, like Marner to Matthews. You need somebody to get you the puck in the wheelhouse. And that's what we're seeing. We saw that, Saturday night. That was a beautiful pass by Marner, and then Matthews does the rest by putting it under the bar. Like, you need somebody to get you the puck.
Noodles, that's why I think scoring is so complicated and so difficult. It's not like hitting a home run. Like, you go up there, if you have the ability, it's just you and the pitcher. You don't need anybody else to do anything else. Like, Matthews might be the best shooter in the history of the game, and if he doesn't have somebody to get him the puck, it doesn't matter. Ovi is the best shooter in the game. And if he doesn't have Backstrom and Kuznetsov getting him the puck, he's just a tourist standing in the left faceoff circle because the puck never comes there.
Right.
Like, that's why, like, when we're trying to project, can Matthews get 50 and 50? And, like, not only does he have to be healthy, Marner has to be healthy. Not only does he not be able to go into a little bit of a dive, neither can Marner. Right, like that's the most direct connection. Like,
right.
It is really, really going to be incredibly difficult to project this. Can he get 50 goals? Because it's going to take more than just him. It's not just him.
Ray, I'm kind of excited tonight to watch Nylander. What he kind of brings to the table. He kind of got his pee-pee whacked the other night in Montreal by the coach, and I want to see what he's got as a response. What are you looking forward to seeing that or what?
Yeah, because I thought in the first half of the game, I thought he was really good. I'm like, I'm kind of digging the way he's skating. He had the puck. He had it with purpose. He looked good. And then all of a sudden, you never heard his name for a few minutes, and then you're like, oh, man, you're not getting on the ice anymore. This book is closed.
Yeah.
And like, I thought it went fast from pretty good to ugh. And so, again, though, like, he should be able to at least look involved and engaged because of his abilities. As far as the score and all that stuff, he's going to need, you're going to need more. You need help. We all do. The thing I notice is, like, he skates with the puck, and he's you know, if he's pushing the play, a lot of the times when Tavares gets the puck, like when Nylander gets it to Tavares, he's standing still. Like he's not moving in the flow. They're not in sync at all.
I would just give him the Mike Keenan treatment where it's like play the crap out of him and say, you wanted to do that the other night. I gave you a little penalty, and I want to see what you got tonight. I want to see how pissed off you are. Now be the best player on the ice and help us win the game tonight. See if he's got that in him. See what the response is. I'm curious to see. I'm very curious.
Remember when Keenan did that with Kovalev, Alex actually thought he was playing well and that Keenan wanted him. So it kind of lost the point. He played about 15 minutes in a row, and Alex is like, wow, I must be playing great. He keeps putting me out here. Took him a while to get to it. But I don't know, at some point you have to challenge the guy, and then he's got to respond in however it's going to be, whether it's more time. I'm not a fan of, you know, like, okay, so Thomas Tatar, for example, he's in the ditch in Montreal. And so he played a really good game. Then yesterday or Saturday, when it's Sunday, they played against Ottawa. He ended up getting benched again. You can't be in and out and expect that the player's going to respond to that.
Right.
You know, like there's got to be a clear direction of what you're trying to accomplish. We talked to Sheldon this morning, and he said, look, we've had, you know, Nylander and him have had enough conversations that it's very clear what's expected.
Well, the other thing too, Ray, is they have a long history. Like, so when you have a long history and a long relationship with somebody, like Sheldon knows exactly what buttons to press with that player. He may not have the same relationship with Austin Matthews or Jake Muzzin, but you know, Sheldon's coached William in the minors. He's now coached him at the NHL level. Like, the history goes back, so I think the relationship is different. So you may be able to cattle prod one player and then you have to back rub the other. And I just believe that relationship, Sheldon's seeing something that he doesn't like from William, and this is what he's doing. But he's not going to do that to every player in the lineup. He has to develop that one-on-one relationship, and I think it's fine. I think the relationship's fine. It's just, let's see how William
Willie's
responds.
Willie's never been a guy that has been overly concerned about getting benched either. I mean, in terms of him generally bouncing back, like, I think he'll play pretty well tonight. I found the explanation somewhat interesting, though, that Keefe said it wasn't about effort. It was about not buying into the plan, which would suggest, you know, he was maybe telling his guys, like, this is how we have to play, that we have a lead in the third, and Willie wouldn't buy into it. Like, that I could see almost frustrating Keefe even more in a weird way.
Well, Brian, I think the first part of that is, like, he looks like he's on the verge of a breakout, but I didn't like what I saw later in the game, so I sat him down. So it's
right.
Like, you know, like, he was close, and then he wasn't. And what I noticed in the game as well, along, you know, that fits with this benching, is so Travis Boyd scores in the second, well, everybody scored in the second period, and then him and Tavares got screwed up on the one goal that led to a breakaway. I forget who scored it, maybe Kotkaniemi. And then Boyd turned it over at the blue line, and that led to the next goal. And yet he stayed in the game. Like, he must have been able to kind of get himself back in the trust book that the coach thought it was still a good idea to put him on the ice. And he played the rest of the night. And whatever Nylander, whatever was going on, it was enough that he's like, you know what, we got the lead here, and you're not going to be part of it.
Well,
and each guy's got his own little, you've got your own tells, like a poker player, right? Like, I'm sure there's not anything Nylander can do anymore that's much of a surprise from behind the bench.
No, exactly. Sheldon Keefe knows exactly what Willie Nylander is going to bring, what he's going to look like when he's on, when he's off. But we've been through this dance with Kessel for the longest time, where Phil and Nylander are similar players. Kessel's a better player in terms of overall production, but polarizing guy. You know, produces high-end talent, can sometimes fade in a game and can sometimes be frustrating as an outsider looking in. But I hope what dawns on Nylander is that he has the opportunity to be not the Kessel in Toronto, but the Kessel in Pittsburgh. He's not expected to be the man. He doesn't even have to be the number two guy. Doesn't have to be number three.
Yeah.
Be right. Number four or five and work hard and join the party. That easy. Ride shotgun on the second line and just come along for the ride. And it should set up perfectly for him. Like, this should – he should be able to relish that opportunity. But you got to be more consistent. You got to bring the effort. You got to do what your coach wants you to do. Because, you know, Phil got – unnecessary heat and unfair heat because he was expected to drag this team. He's not capable of doing that.
But you saw what Phil did in Pittsburgh, Brian. It's not like he was Charlie Hustle every night, but you know what he did in the playoffs come clutch time? He scored, man.
Yes, he did.
And he helped those guys out, and he was a big part of it. So we know there's not going to be Charlie Hustle awards presented to this player. But you know what? Produce. Get along, just like you said, go along for the ride and chip in with your offense and be accountable and score big goals, and everybody will leave you alone if that's the role you want to play.
Here's the other thing I'll add on before you jump in, Ray, is, like, this is the right time to do it. Like, we're focused on it. The team still won the game.
Right.
They lose 7-1, and you're worried about a $7 million player. What you're doing along the ride is fine-tuning. So I have no problem with that, because if there is a lull in play with other players, other your top players, if Marner and Matthews take a step back or they get shut down for a couple games, that's when you expect this player to step up, and Tavares, because I'm going to lump 91 in there too. There's been some inconsistencies in his, you know, production and performance as well. But I have no problem with a coach coaching while your team is having success, because all it's doing, it's shining a little light. This is what we're talking about. Well, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, you know, they're not talking about who got benched in Calgary. They're talking about everyone's hair's on fire. Montreal, everyone's hair's on fire in Montreal. They lost two games. Like, you know, here, all you're doing is just fine-tuning, and that's kind of behind the scenes.
Which is needed long-term. Yeah.
Correct. It's the investment in the future.
Long-term payoff.
Right.
Well, Noodles, to part of your point there, Tavares has got two even strength goals. They're 17, 18 games into the season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if the big boys aren't out to a great start, this is all we're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
Those guys aren't producing. They're not to the level that you would expect, commiserate with the number that they're being paid and what their ability should allow them to score at. So they're muddled along here, and they got time to get going here, but eventually you can't be the best team in the league with two guys. And we all know that, and these guys are going to have to somewhere get untracked. I'd just like to see them look in sync a little better. Because as I said, to me it doesn't look like they are. I really noticed it on Saturday that Tavares gets the puck a lot of times and he's just standing there. Now, he's not the fastest guy off the mark, so you get stuck. Like, there needs to find a little more flow to that line, I think, before they're really going to be successful.
Well, the crazy thing about Saturday is you started watching Colorado-Vegas, and then you went and watched every other game, and then you went back and watched Colorado-Vegas and Lake Tahoe.
Wow.
And it was – I felt for the league because I support the play. I love the creativity. I loved it. I love that they went there. I've been advocating for that for a long time.
What?
And in terms of the outdoor new environment, not in a stadium, Lake Tahoe, the background, NBC, they got jobbed. You know, like, you can goof on them all you want that,
Brian,
they didn't anticipate the sun,
man,
coming out.
Who says that while the sun's our enemy? That's like saying I put porta potties there, but I forgot toilet paper. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't just say the sun is our enemy. That was a huge mistake. There,
it was
man.
An error.
Come
and
on,
they got burned.
Man.
What I'm saying is, I'm not going to. Go ahead, Ray.
They don't have Frank, the weather guy, doing the weather charts. I assume they're looking at satellites. They have as much advanced information as possible. Their information was there was going to be cloud cover. And when there wasn't, those guys were skating in soup. My favorite
that was
play,
silly.
Right before they canceled the game, was there was an end zone shot, and the referee and one of the players fell in. I'm like, they got to cancel this right now. This is ridiculous.
They had to. And listen, it sucked. It was a black eye and embarrassing. What I'm not going to do is rip them for going there or trying something different.
It all turned out fine. Like, the night part of the game looked fantastic.
Exactly.
The next day was beautiful.
Yeah. It was. The product was beautiful once they got going. I just personally, I understand that I think networks were involved. I think, you know, timing and all of that. But nothing to me says that you should start a game in the middle of the afternoon in a sunny place, ever. Like that just, I thought to myself, why would they not have it, try and have it at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock that time? Yeah, I understand. It's 8 or 9 o'clock out here. Like,
you,
I just...
But you know what?
I understand.
It was the TV.
NBC.
It was, you know,
yep.
NBC needed it. And we can say all those at bloody NBC, but they're a major TV partner until they're not. And those decisions don't get made all the time, I think, the way the hockey fan in all of us would like.
Right.
Yeah. That's just the way it is.
It wasn't just NBC Sportsnet. It was main network NBC,
right,
which means a lot to the league as well. I mean, it's not just about what's on a dotted line with the contract. That's what you want. That's when you get a chance at, you know, 3 million viewers during the regular season. You can't get that anywhere else in the States.
Right.
I did send Eddie Olczyk a text, and I'm like, Edzo, are you going to juggle soon? And he said, it's so hot.
Oh,
I felt for them. We've all been there trying to kill time.
Grinding.
Where they're like stretch, grind.
No,
like
that's
where like,
you
let's
like
go to...
play a replay of the last year's event or something. It's like you can't fill like that. Oh my God!
Well, I mean, even Gary got involved. He had to be interviewed, and like you're sitting there, they're trying to kill. They must have been trying to get to the bottom of the hour, the top of the hour, where, you know, okay, we'll get out of here at this time.
Right.
But we've got 40 minutes to kill. Let's go back to Brian Boucher, and Bush is standing there with a mask on. Like, and
he's got nothing.
Like,
by the second time they went to him, he had nothing.
And it's not his fault.
Not his fault. Like, you can't prepare for it. It is ultimately you're juggling. And, you know, they had Tirico there, who's outstanding, and Eddie Olczyk. We all love Eddie, and he's great.
And then who was that? Sorry for my ignorance. Who was that dude running around on the beach?
I have no idea who that guy is.
With the Speedo on that dove in the water?
Like, who is he? He was the host. I don't know what it is. I don't even know who he was.
Yeah.
I wonder who that guy is.
Me neither. I saw people tweeting about him. I'm like, never seen him, never heard of him. Is he gritty or something? Like, without the...
David Pasternak.
By the way, that was entertaining, that guy. Yeah. Wow, what a player too, eh?
He always brings it. Always brings it, man. Always. How about Pierre-Luc Dubois in his debut for Winnipeg? I think they're pretty happy out there.
Well, they say, okay, we don't want to really stress him because he got hurt when he came right back, so we'll play him on the wing with Wheeler and Scheifele. And then those guys, like, Scheifele had a goal and two, Wheeler had three assists, Dubois had two and one. Like, they just, if those big boys get rolling like that, that would be a tough line to handle. They're all big and... that was a pretty good finish last night, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait till he gets his groove on. That'd be scary.
Yeah.
That team might have a chance to be pretty good, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
Noodles,
the one
you've been knocking on that door. Oh, you
I
too.
Just,
you both like them.
Pretty consistent. I mean, you know who is a really fantastic player for them is that Pionk. He terrorized.
Oh, ever.
He terrorized McDavid and Draisaitl the other night. Like, he physically. Like, he's a guy, and he's not a big guy, but he's got an edge to him, and he's a good player offensively. Like, I think they've found, you know, Truba's had his struggles with the Rangers. Like, and Truba was a mean player to play against, but Pionk is kind of the new style mean. Like, he
puts up some numbers, too.
Puts up numbers. He's got a bomb for a shot. Like, he's a really nice player. Very nice player for Winnipeg.
Don't forget this, too, Noodles, about that trade, right, is they got a first-round pick, which is Ville Heinola.
Oh,
he
yeah.
is a good young prospect. Pionk's making $3 million. Truba's making $8 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that deal has turned out very well for Winnipeg.
Yep, not bad. And it makes you realize, like, sometimes you got to let something play out. You know, in Winnipeg, they were understandably rattled. Like, Truba wanted out. He had asked out. They got rid of him, quote unquote. And I'm sure they're thinking, great, what is this going to mean for us? Pretty good spot to be in right now. Anyway, you got the call tonight. Leafs Flames on TSN 4, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5:05.
Yep, we just think of this. Flames have given up the first goal 5 times in a row, 5 games in a row. Matthews has got the first goal 4 games in a row. It kind of sets up pretty good.
It might. Yeah, that would be an interesting streak on both ends to continue tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
Have a good one, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, you got it. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment. Calgary, again, has lost four of the last five. They're 1-4 in the last five, given up a ton of goals. And now Markstrom's numbers are starting to, you know, bloat a little bit or get bloated.
Been pulled two games in a row.
Exactly.
So you're going to see what he brings.
Holding on for dear life.
I have one correction, too. Stamkos, people have written, he didn't score 65. He scored 60. But that wasn't my point. The point was the argument, the host of TH2N, is he was mad because he was a Stamkos guy. And I said he will never get something with a six in it without somebody putting it on his tape. And the minute that St. Louis left, he never got there ever again.
Yep.
And that was my point.
Yeah, so no, and it's a valid one. I mean, 65. Semantics, 60, 65.
Yeah, but still, you know.
It's a pretty good number, I would say. I don't know if he won the Hart that year. I don't think he did. I don't think he's won a Hart. Who won the Hart the year he scored 60?
Crosby or Ovi.
Probably Crosby
one
or
of those
Ovi.
Two,
yeah, they
think.
Probably
Let's
had more. So.
Come back and look into that. Yeah. Overdrive continues with Jack Armstrong just after 6 o'clock. The Raptors on a heater. They've won four in a row. Back-to-back games coming up. Nick Nurse will join us later in the week. We look forward to that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so to answer that trivia question, it was back in 2011-2012, and I believe that was the year where Sidney Crosby was injured and out for the majority of the season. Evgeny Malkin won the Hart that year. Stamkos scored 60, and he did not win the Hart. And not only did he not win the Hart, it wasn't really that close. If you look at the vote, Malkin pretty much ran away with it. That's pretty
tough,
wild.
What did Gino have? Like, he probably had 120
points, I think.
Yeah, I think he was like 109. But I think it was more they were still an unbelievable team without Sid.
And he carried the load. And what was Stamkos? You probably don't have this in front of you. What was his total points, Hayes? 60 plus?
I think it was.
Let me find it
here. I've got it right here. 60 and 37. He had 97 points.
Yep.
So 60 and 37.
You'd think you'd scramble up some assists. I had 41 and 26 one year. It's like, how do you not just throw in some more assists?
Well, you're the one scoring.
You're the one going.
Come on, man.
But Gino had...
Gino had 50 that year, and he had 109 points.
That's
the thing. You hit 50, you're close enough. Like, you put up a big season in terms of goal scoring and 109 points. That'll do it. I mean, that's a big enough buffer. And Sid being out. Like, that, as we get back into this whole conversation about McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthews, Marner, all that, I do wonder if what could help Matthews at some point is if he continues to put up numbers without Marner. Because McDavid's doing it with... Who's he got playing with him? Puljujarvi and RNH, who are good players. I mean, McDavid's got a lot of power play points via Draisaitl, either feeding Draisaitl or vice versa. But they're not playing a ton 5-on-5.
No, they don't play together.
Yeah.
It's Draisaitl that plays with Yamamoto, and it's basically McDavid and RNH. And Puljujarvi has found a home there. But you're right, like Matthews and Marner. And again, I'm knocking on wood, I would never say, but let's say McDavid got hurt. You'd look to Draisaitl to... Like just like last year, McDavid was out for six games. Draisaitl stepped up and dominated.
I think that's what won him the Hart. I think that's where he solidified it.
That's the thing. Mitch Marner enters the conversation if anything ever happened to Austin Matthews, because Marner's having that type of season too. It's just the focus is on Austin. Same thing in Edmonton. Focus is on McDavid.
You guys see this Carson Wentz, Michael Pittman Jr. number story that has already started? Like, Carson Wentz just everywhere he's a talking point because of the position he plays, because of what happened in Philly.
What do you mean he's that guy?
Yeah, it's just this wasn't even his doing because for whatever reason, Michael Pittman Jr., who's a wideout and, you know, he's vocal or whatever, he's been in the league for 2 years. He's a good young wideout. He's not a superstar, but he's number 11, and that's Wentz's number. And I don't know how it went public or why Pittman decided to go public with it, but he basically said, Wentz called me, wanted the number, and I told him, shove it, I'm not giving you the number. And now it's like developing into this story, which I can understand if you're in Indianapolis. You're like, are you telling me people in India are already disrespecting Carson Wentz? Because Pittman's claiming that Wentz also said, no, it's all good, I think I'm going to change anyway, which is bogus.
The disrespectful thing is if you have to actually call the guy, then you're not getting the number. They call you and say, dude, when you show up to town, you're going to have this number. Don't worry about it. If you have to call and say, can I have it? Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. That's the disrespectful thing. Once the guy calls you, you say, you know what? Thanks a lot. I'm going to hook you up with a Rolex. With that kind of money, maybe it's a car. I don't know. But to call him, that's the amateur hour part of it. You don't do that, man. That's just a loser move.
Well, and at least have a conversation, because a lot of those guys are close with the trainers, right? So the trainer would know. The trainer might be the buffer in between and call the guy and go, yeah, are you willing to give up 11? And, you know, and see, it might be that kind of go-between. But you'd think you'd get a little bit of inkling. Like, it's either, I don't know.
You know what's a factor in it, Hayes? You know, what do you think would be the one factor if Carson Wentz was what? That the guy would call him and say, I got to give this guy my number.
If he was a winner?
If he was the starting quarterback for the Eagles and they won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Maybe this cat would say, you know what, I'll give you the number.
That's why I think it's a story. Because, like, obviously, if Tom Brady was rolling there, it wouldn't even be a debate. The owner would call Pittman and say, you're either cut or you give him number 12.
Exactly.
The fact that Wentz is calling him and Pittman's like, no, not a chance, speaks to Pittman basically saying, I don't really care that you're here, man. Like, I'm not a huge fan, and I'm not giving you my number. Because history would suggest the quarterback, who's more of a veteran, keeps the number. Gets the number, keeps the number. Pittman's been in the league for 2 years. He didn't wear number 11 at school. Not like he's got this deep connection to it. And he's just like, no. And he's going public with it. He's like, yeah, Wentz called me, and I said no.
It's a stupid question to call and ask for it, but my follow-up would be, hey, can you not tell anyone that I did that?
Right. Why embarrass me?
He probably went right on Instagram Live. Another crazy football situation. Did you see that kid going after Cam Newton at some football camp?
Yeah.
That was insanity.
That was. I will say, when I first saw it trending, I thought it was going to be really gruesome and offside. You know, he's chirping him like an idiot. He's being a dummy. He's being a kid, knowing that his friend is taping it and he wants it to go viral. Like, I truly believe that was the motivation. I don't think what he said was, like, outrageously disrespectful, but it shouldn't happen.
No, you and don't talk like that to an adult, man.
No.
But that's the thing, is like, that's the kid's a loser. Like, he's a complete loser for saying that. And
it's TikTok, man. He's looking for likes.
Even his apology today, he was looking for popularity. It's like this 16-year-old kid who nobody knows about. I'm not going to say he's a nobody, because he's probably a somebody going somewhere. But, like, the apology, it's like everywhere on Twitter. It's like, this guy's just looking for more attention. It was incredible, the whole scenario.
Yep. But it's all about getting it on video and posting it online and knowing that it's going to go viral. Yeah. And that's what, like, Cam, by all accounts, everything I've heard and read about Cam Newton is he's a great dude who gives back. Like, that's what it was at his camp. Like, he gives back and he's charitable. He signs every autograph, all that kind of stuff.
Imagine this guy putting on this camp for these kids, Brian, and somebody giving him that nonsense.
Right.
I would just say, you can take the camp and shove it. I'm not doing it anymore.
But that's what you hope, that another 16-year-old goes and gives that guy a talking to.
Yeah, don't ruin it for everyone else.
Exactly. Like, you know what? We're trying to learn here. We're trying to have a good time, and you're being an idiot. That's a problem. Like, that's a problem. That's literally the problem with today's society there. That guy gets clicks, where somebody, if somebody goes and grabs him by the scruff of his neck and says, smarten up, now that guy's the bad
guy.
That's
a lawsuit. And, hey, if Cam did that, if Cam, you know, stormed up
Cam's
to him and bumped
that.
Him or something,
one thing
Cam
would
do it. But,
no, that Cam's not doing it. I'm saying somebody, another 16-year-old, to go show some respect, you idiot. Like,
I really, truly playing amateur psychologist, I don't think it happens if the cameras aren't rolling. I don't think it's a coincidence that the cameras were rolling. And just like, you know, speak of the devil, we'll get into this more with Jack Armstrong. Chris Finch, who was an assistant coach for Nick Nurse with the Raptors, hired in Minnesota. I don't think it's a coincidence they just played them twice. Like, everyone's making a big deal of the fact that out of nowhere, this guy gets the job. They just played him. I guarantee you he was doing the interviews. He was probably meeting the GM for dinner down in Florida, up in Minnie. He probably was basically telling you, I'll take the gig, you know, fire Saunders, and I'll come up. Because it's incredibly, you know,
convenient.
Borderline unprecedented, very unique that an assistant coach with another team takes over on another team, you know, halfway through the year. Usually you promote from within on an interim basis and then make the move at the end of the year. So a lot of coincidences, quote unquote, wink, wink. Anyway, Leafs Flames tonight. Oh, you're off to do the panel tonight.
You guys say hi to Al's brother for me. I'm very pissed off.
Yes, you're going to miss out. We are going to do that this week. Al's brother at 6:30 with the power rankings. He's going to break it down 1 through 7 and let us know how he feels. And I got to believe there's a lot of movement. I think the Leafs will still be number one.
Yeah.
Calgary's going to move. I think the Habs might move. I think Edmonton and Winnipeg have to move up for sure.
The Habs move down, and I think Edmonton and Winnipeg should move up.
They should. That should be a top three.
He's coming in studio
for
that.
Not our opinion. Not our opinion.
Not our
opinion. Maybe Vancouver second. Who knows?
You never know with Al's brother. So we'll get to that later this afternoon. Jack in about a half an hour. Oh, you're off to do the panel. You'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
We'll chat then.
There he is, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, our buddy Jack Armstrong in about 15 minutes. He was jacked up, man. He's been pretty excited about those Raptors lately, as he should be. They've won 4 in a row and 9 of 12. They're back above 500. They're 5th in the and they just keep winning without Kyle Lowry. You know, you brought that up last week, Noodles. Now they're, what are they, 16-0?
Yeah, 16-0. Because I thought it was a misprint. When I turned the game, I admitted it. I was going back and forth between the Leaf game and the Raptors game, and it came on, and I'm like, I think it said 14-0 or 13-0 at that time without Kyle Lowry. I thought, that's a weird, you know, you better be sure on when you're running a stat on the ticker. And then sure enough, it was 14-0 after that game, and then they go, like, it's amazing. That doesn't mean, and Josh came on and said, don't, like, smarten up here. Don't trade Kyle just based on that stat alone. But you are seeing an emergence of some of the younger players and guys that you expect. I mean, Spicy P looks a little bit more like Spicy P instead of Stinky P.
He's not so Stinky P anymore. He's very spicy. Very
he's looking
spicy.
Good.
He looks
Boucher,
good.
Boucher looks like he's a nice player. Like,
yeah,
he looks like a really good player.
Yep. No, that's kind of, I mean, they're dealing with the hand that they've been dealt in terms of the front court. Boucher and Baines are very different players, but they both have length, and that's kind of what they need to work in the future. They need a combination of Baines and Boucher, especially against a guy like Embiid last night, and they'll see him again tomorrow night. It's, you know, he's going to challenge you. He's a beast. He's a massive human being with athleticism. Like, the way he defended late in that fourth last night was him in a nutshell. Like, they could not penetrate the paint. They could not get inside. They could Siakam tried, VanVleet tried. I think Powell tried. It just didn't happen, couldn't happen. But you make his life as difficult as possible. And just an impressive win. Like, there were a lot of swings last night, and they just kept getting up off the mat and kept getting back in the game, and that's a big win. So Jack will join us in about 15 minutes. Nick Nurse losing another member of his staff, though. Chris Finch taking over in Minnesota, which, again, very unique. You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
An assistant coach with another team mid-season taking a gig. We'll see what Jack can tell us about that. I just saw Jeff Skinner as a healthy scratch tonight.
I know.
Did you see
that? I saw
that,
too. Yeah, I was reading about it yesterday because, you know, there were some analytics guys defending him because he's had, like, the most shots on net for players, but he's got Bagel. So they're saying, you know, chances of law of averages, this guy's going to find the back of the net. He's been playing, not playing great, but he's getting looks at least. And then there were Sabres fans saying, well, what about this player? What about this player? Much worse. It's like Ralph has it out for him. And I'm saying, if you have zero production, you make $9 million a year, like you need something to jolt your game. If it's a healthy scratch, I would healthy scratch him, but then I would play him with Eichel for a three-game stretch the minute he got back to see if he can get his game and get himself off the mat. They need him.
He has to. He's getting paid, what, $9.95?
$9 million. $9 million.
$9 million. He got a long-term deal at $9 million.
Right.
And listen, the year before that, you talk about a platform season. Like, he was the definition of it. He was a rock star for them. And it's a market that was craving someone that had, you know, star power. And when Skinner has been on his game ever since his rookie year, I think he won the Calder and he put up big numbers his rookie year. He's hit the ground running, but he has been inconsistent. Been up and down, and the past couple of years have been incredibly ugly, and it culminates with a healthy scratch, a $9 million healthy scratch. He's got, 6 years left on his deal?
6 years, I believe, yeah. And that's, like, the challenge is 2 years ago, you pointed, he was on fire and had 30-some goals in, like, the first 60 games and went south, I believe. Don't quote me on the stats. I've been, the Twitter police have been all over me today with quoting stuff. But he was a guy that went out and earned that contract, was going to be an unrestricted free agent. And then the minute that Ralph Kruger got there, wasn't playing with Eichel. I personally, I know everyone loves Ralph Krueger. I don't see the fascination with him, you know, being this amazing.
It hasn't
coach.
Worked. You know, like I think I have more issues with management, ownership, and the team
right.
makeup necessarily. But I'm with you. Ralph Krueger is this guy. Where has he ever won before?
Yeah, like it's he's been liked, and he's a guy who thinks outside the box, which I respect. But I think there's more there, and you need to repair that relationship because that contract, like Seattle's not just putting their hand up and going, okay,
no.
Skinner, come on
over
here.
You can't take it with the way he's going right now.
You've got to find a way to get that player back within your fold and in the good graces.
Yep.
It's going to start with a healthy scratch, and then let's see what you do after.
And it's on the coach to do that. And
exactly.
The owner will be the one chiming in, saying, what am I paying you for? I got a $9 million guy sitting up in the press box. Make it work. He's got her. They need him. They need Jeff Skinner.
Agreed.
Final hour coming up. Jack Armstrong will join us on the Raptors, you know, just on a heater right now before another game against Philly tomorrow night. And Al's Brothers Power Rankings in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.